Today's 48 Way is called Ohev et HaBriot. Literally, it means love the creations. The rabbis use the word creations as a synonym for humankind to focus us that all human beings are special because they are creations of God. When Rav Noach taught the five levels of pleasure, he would point out that what makes one level of pleasure different from another is that there is no exchange rate. You wouldn't take any amount of one level of pleasure to substitute for the higher level. His example of that, which everyone immediately connects to, is that there is no amount of physical pleasure, no amount of money that we would take to substitute for the love we feel for our children, our parents, our brothers and sisters, and hopefully our spouses. So love is an incredibly powerful pleasure, worth more than all the physical pleasures people can buy with the money that most people spend the greater part of their lives pursuing. But that leads to a perplexing question. Human beings are pleasure seekers. We want to maximize our pleasure. Why don't we put more time into loving more people and getting that greater pleasure? Shouldn't we seek the pleasure of love more than the pleasure of a vacation in Mauritius? We can understand the answer if we examine the programming of Western society, something that is embedded in our consciousness. Ask anyone in Western society, and I've done this many times, can you be commanded to love someone? Everyone will answer, of course not. We consider love an emotion we either feel for someone or don't. If we don't feel it, there is no way to work on learning to feel it. That would seem to conflict with God's perception because he thinks he can command us. We are commanded, love your neighbor as yourself, as well as to love God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your possessions. So how could we be commanded? As we have mentioned in the past two ways, love has a powerful definition. Memorize it. Love is an emotion of pleasure that comes from perceiving the virtues in another person and identifying them with those virtues. You love your wife or husband because he or she is kind, caring, responsible, not because he or she is anxious, controlling, or lazy. You love your good friends because they are always there for you, because they can give you important insights, because they appreciate life and are fun to be around. Their faults, and everyone has them, don't seem to you to be equal to their virtues, even though those faults may bother you. This definition has a second part, as important as the first. If love was only about perceiving virtues, you should love the greatest rabbi of the time more than you love your mother. Even though your mother is great, the greatest rabbi probably has more virtues. But to love, you have to identify the person with his or her virtues. The virtues you see in your mother, the kindness, the caring, are virtues you know are basic elements of who she is. You don't really know the greatest rabbi. The virtues you see are only on the surface. Once we have the definitions, we can understand how we can be commanded to love. Work on learning to perceive the virtues of other people and work on how we can appreciate that those virtues are essential elements of the person. So why are we all programmed with a belief that we can't be commanded to love? That's because we've been programmed with another definition of love. As workers in outreach, we already know not to schedule classes on Valentine's Day. Nothing can stand in the way of the heart with the arrow in it. What does the arrow represent? The Greek god Cupid, who shoots an arrow at someone and he or she falls in love. The Greek idea of love has taken over Western society. Falling in love obviously can't be commanded. You feel it or you don't. When you feel it, you're in love, and when you don't, you leave that person and move on to someone else. This isn't real love. It is the false love that we call infatuation. It is based on a body desire that causes us to identify false virtues. She's an angel. She's so kind. She has no faults. Those false virtues help convince us that it is greater than just a body desire until the body stops desiring and we fall out of love. Then we realize that the virtues weren't real. Real love based on real virtues doesn't come on us suddenly and doesn't leave us suddenly. We don't fall out of love with our parents or our children. If we really love our spouse, we don't suddenly fall out of love with them. To work on real love, we have to reorient ourselves away from this false programming. Realize that in every romantic novel or pop song, when they say love, they mean infatuation. That's why no one makes movies or writes romantic novels about happily married people. So how do we work on real love? Use our definition. The first place to start is with your wife or husband. We married our spouse because of their virtues. Keep looking for them. Sometimes the stresses of marriage and kids make us forget. Remind yourself of what those virtues are, especially mutual love, mutual responsibility for children, but also intelligence, sense of humor, and many other things. A friend of mine told me he keeps a list in his wallet of all the virtues of his wife, so when they have arguments, he can go back and remind himself. The second place is to start with those people around you. Everyone has virtues that you can learn to appreciate. First are the great virtues that all people have. They are souls with free will, wanting meaning. Then there are the virtues that we share as Jews. We are partners in a binding commitment to God. All Jews, the rabbis say, are driven for meaning to a greater extent than other people. Jews are kind and merciful, stubborn and opinionated, takers of responsibility. And every person has many other virtues. One person is intelligent and perceptive, another is charitable, another loves life and gives off a sense of joy. Learn to be a gourmet of virtues like other people become gourmets of food. It's important to recognize that the virtues you see in people are really who they are. We see with our children who have many faults that the faults aren't the essence of who they are. So it is with everyone. One virtue represents a quality of the soul and represents who the person really is. Even 20 faults are from the body and are something he or she would really like to get rid of. You won't love people right away by making lists. To expand your love of people, you have to make it a long-term goal to practice over and over. When you find it difficult to see people's virtues, try doing things for them, like Avraham, who took in guests, and Aaron, who loved people and brought them to Torah. That investment in them opens you up to seeing their good qualities. Loving people is really a way of loving God. When you see the virtues of people, you are seeing God, the source of all virtues reflected through them. And not only is it a way of loving God, but you can use it to love people more. Recognize that what you are loving is the godliness in them.